grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of all creation, you reach out to call people of all nations to your kingdom. As you gather disciples from near and far, count us also among those who boldly confess your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord. Please be seated as we hear the word proclaimed.
First reading, a reading from the book of prophet Isaiah, the 51st chapter. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was one but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord, and gladness will be found in her. Thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me. My nation, for a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples, the coastlands, and wait for me, and for the arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live in it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 138 responsively. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise.
I bow down before your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything else.
On the day I called you, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul.
All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth.
They shall sing the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord.
For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Second reading, a reading from the Romans, the 12th chapter. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think it with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, and compassionate and cheerfulness. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord. Bring your keys with you this morning. You want to take your keys out. Grab a hold of your keys if you have your keys. I brought my keys. Keys. Do you have any keys? Well, I have these keys. These are the keys that were given to me when I came to St. Peter's. I have a church key and an office key and a security gate key and a sacristy key and a key to the building, to this building. Kind of an odd key ring. I've always been going to get a different kind of key ring, but you know, I never quite get around to it. So I have this weird little key chain. This is my car key, a key for the car and a key for one of those clubs that you put on for security that I always forget to put on, but I've got that. And then I have my keys that I have when I go walking. I have the house key and a key to our security gate. So this is all I have to carry when I walk, and rather than have all of these. Does anybody have more keys than, I have nine. Does anybody have in their pocket more than nine keys? Don. Don has 88 keys. He's really afraid of getting locked out of some place. Does anyone, honest answering now, does anyone have a key on their key ring that they don't know what it's for? That you don't really know why you have that key. It's just an extra key, but you're afraid to take it off because you might need it someday. Keys are really important. Keys are a sign of maturity, for one thing. You don't get the key to the car until you are old enough to drive. You get your house key, that first key that's given to you when you get your first apartment on your own. You have that key. That's a pretty important key. We have keys that we use, and they're very helpful. We couldn't get along very handily in life without our keys. They're very important. But key is also a metaphor. You know, we talk about the keys to a happy life. What's the key to a good musician? We'd say having a good teacher, lots of practice, love for music. What's the key to being a good athlete? Talent, a good coach, hard work. What's the key to an effective, happy marriage? What's the key to good parenting? What's the key to good community life in the church? Key is a a metaphor that we can use to talk about aspects of life. You know, if we didn't use those keys to good living and marriage and parenting, and if we ignored those keys, it would be pretty messy for us. If you ever have locked your keys in the car, it's not impossible, but it causes problems. I've left my keys in the office and locked the door. Now I have an extra set of keys at home, so I can get Don to bring them over, or I can get home and that would be a long walk, but I can get my keys. But if we have keys and don't use them, they're no good. It causes problems. Keep that idea of key in your mind as we listen to that gospel passage where Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." To bind and to loose. Now that was a common phrase in Jesus' day. The rabbis had the power to bind and to loose. People would take to them a certain situation and they would judge, does the law apply or not apply? Does it bind or are you loose from it? Different rabbis had different interpretations, so people would go to the rabbis with a question. Am I bound by this law or am I loosed from this law? Rabbi Jesus says to Peter, this is the key to the kingdom of keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind, whatever you loose, will be loosed or bound in heaven. Rabbi Jesus sets a standard for the church. It's the mind of Christ, the teaching of Jesus, that is the standard of living in the kingdom. For Peter, for the followers of Peter, for the whole church. I'm going to take some liberty with this scripture passage, take a little different approach, and pull it a little bit, maybe a little too much, so please excuse me for taking a non-traditional look at this scripture to talk about this metaphor of the key. The keys for the kingdom are the keys of loosing and binding, the keys of forgiving or withholding forgiveness. What does that mean in our daily life? How do we use those keys? The keys of forgiveness or the key of withholding forgiveness, how do we use those keys in our daily kingdom walk? What does it mean to grant forgiveness? What does it mean to withhold forgiveness? What is it to loose and to bind? The first key of forgiveness is so important. It's key not only to our life as community and as church, but it's key in our individual lives as well. Forgiveness is letting go of sins. It's releasing from sin. It's letting go of our own sin, forgiving ourselves for our imperfections, letting go of the sin and imperfection in our spouses and children, in our neighbors and co-workers, in our church community. It's not holding people bound for their sins, for their imperfections. We need to forgive. You and I are sinful, imperfect people. And we have to live with a lot of other sinful, imperfect people. In fact, that's the only kind of people there are, sinful, imperfect people. And we need a lot of forgiveness. We need to forgive people for their sinfulness and for their imperfections. That's how we are. Without forgiveness, we couldn't possibly get along. We couldn't get on in the world. We need to be people of forgiveness, forgiving ourselves and forgiving others. I read an article in the New York Times newspaper on Tuesday morning. This is dated, I'm going to read the article to you, dated August 15th. Every bone in her face was shattered last November when Victoria Ruvalo was struck by a 20-pound frozen turkey hurled through her windshield by a Long Island teenager. When she came to court on Monday to hear the teenager accept responsibility for nearly killing her, she was there not for retribution, but for his redemption. The teenager, Ryan Cushing, pleaded guilty in Suffolk County Court to a reduced charge of second-degree assault. Tall and lanky and too thin for his gray suit, Mr. Cushing, 19, nearly whispered his admission that he threw the turkey from the rear window of a speeding car, hitting Ms. Ruvalo's car with such force that it bent her steering wheel before striking her. Surgeons who rebuilt her face using metal plates and screws said the impact might have caused lasting brain damage. But prosecutors say that Ms. Ruvalo's recovery has been remarkable and that once again she is able to be at work and living on her own. Accompanied by several friends and relatives, Ms. Ruvalo, a 44-year-old office manager, came to court wearing a black pantsuit and a gold cross on a chain for her first face-to-face meeting with Mr. Cushing. Stopping to speak to her on his way out of the courtroom, Mr. Cushing choked on an apology and began to cry. For an intensely emotional few minutes, Ms. Ruvalo alternately embraced him tightly, stroked his face, and patted his back as he sobbed uncontrollably. Many of the 24 people in court, prosecutors, court officers, and reporters, choked back tears. I'm so sorry, Mr. Cushing said over and over again. I didn't mean it. Most of their exchange was whispered, but at one point, Ms. Ruvalo's advice to him was just barely audible. It's okay, she said. I just want you to make your life the best that it can be. When Mr. Cushing is sentenced on October 17th, he is expected to receive no more than a 6-month jail term and 5 years probation. Psychological counseling would be a condition of probation. Indicted on the charge of first-degree assault and other serious offenses, Mr. Cushing could have faced up to 25 years in prison if convicted. Instead, the Suffolk County District Attorney, Mr. Spada, said he had agreed to a plea bargain only at Ms. Ruvalo's insistence. Mr. Spada said she had asked prosecutors repeatedly about the teenager and about his background and insisted on a lenient sentence. Mr. Spada said he was finally persuaded. With crime victims, normally they have just the opposite reaction, and death doesn't even satisfy them, he said. She is just an extraordinary person. He added that he would be shocked if it were not the last time that Mr. Cushing found himself in trouble. I think it will be a real turnaround for him, Mr. Spada said. Mr. Cushing, a student at the State University of New York in Farmingdale, suffers from impaired vision and cannot drive. Prosecutors described him as passive, shy, and a follower. Although the chief of the district attorney's major crime bureau, Peter Meyer, noted that prosecutors are not bound by a crime victim's wishes, he said that Ms. Ruvalo and the evidence left them little choice. He said a conviction would have required proving that Mr. Cushing knew that throwing the turkey could kill or gravely injure someone. Instead, he told the judge, it is clear that he did not intend or expect these terrible consequences. Outside the courtroom, Mr. Meyer added that he had not seen such a forgiving victim in his 30 years as a prosecutor. It's our feeling that the ends of justice have been met in this case. Mr. Cushing and his lawyer stopped to talk to reporters on their way out of the courtroom. I love the woman, Mr. Cushing said. She's a wonderful woman. Forgiveness. How many times do you put your hand on your key, your car key, in a day, in a week? How many times do you put your hand on your house key? The key of forgiveness needs to be used more often than we use our car key or our house key. That key of forgiveness is a constant use in our lives as Christians. We use that key over and over again. We start every Sunday service here standing by the font, reminding ourselves that it's through the waters of baptism that we have received the forgiveness of God. It's because of God's mercy and abundant love that we are able to walk through this life as a forgiving, forgiven child of God. It's at the table of our Lord Jesus that we are also forgiven and nourished. We receive Christ's body and blood. We receive those gifts of forgiveness, of life, of salvation. We put our hand to that key of forgiveness many times on Sunday during the service, and all through the week, we put our hand to the key of forgiveness. We are forgiven, therefore we can forgive. Thanks be to God for that forgiveness that we have received through Jesus Christ. And in Him, our sinful, imperfect selves are made worthy and acceptable. Now the second key, that key of withholding forgiveness, a binding, that's where you have to grant me a little liberty. That's a little harder. Maybe I'm stretching that metaphor a little too far. When should we withhold forgiveness? Jesus teaches, after all, 70 times you must forgive. But when wouldn't we forgive? Jesus teaches that we should not judge. When should we not forgive? When should we not judge the actions of another? Jesus teaches us that God is the judge. That's God's job, not ours. So what do we make of this passage from the scripture about binding, about not forgiving? Maybe to use the phrase tough love would be a way to explain this, to say it. Tough love. People who are familiar with 12-step programs can tell you all about tough love and being an enabler, allowing someone to live in their sin and their failings. When we see the consequences of our sin, we can see that maybe we can make decisions, other decisions, make other choices. When we see the consequences of our action, we can choose to be different. Now, sometimes we are enablers. Sometimes we might give forgiveness too soon. We don't call people to be transformed. Sometimes we need to use that key to bind someone, to face the consequences of their sinful behavior, to help our children or our spouse or our friends or our coworkers to see the need for change. As St. Paul said, a need for transformation. So I was reading the paper yesterday, and I read this story in the Union Tribune. A suspected drunken driver who crashed her Volkswagen Beetle, killing her two passengers, tried to run away from the wreckage, but was grabbed by a witness and held for police, authorities said. The 26-year-old Lakeside woman was speeding southbound in the northbound lanes of Fairmont Avenue at Mission Gorge Road when she lost control of her car about 1:45 yesterday, San Diego police said. The car struck the center divide, then careened into a bridge pillar under Interstate 8. A passenger in the front seat was ejected and died instantly, 21-year-old male from Santee. The rear passenger, who died in the wreckage, was also 21, of Lakeside. The driver was hospitalized with minor injuries. Witnesses told police that the car was seen speeding in the wrong lane before impact, The driver had become confused and ended up driving on the wrong side of the road, said the traffic detective. After she crashed, witnesses said she got out of the car and sat by the curb, then suddenly got up and started to run. He said a man who witnessed the accident caught her and told her, "You are not going anywhere. Your two friends are dead." The man then held on to the woman until police arrived. He said that the woman, despite being quite intoxicated, was aware of what had happened to her friends. The trio had been drinking at an El Cajon Boulevard bar. It is not known if the male passengers were wearing seatbelts. The woman was saved from serious injury by an airbag, police said. She faces multiple charges, including driving while intoxicated, gross vehicular manslaughter, and felony hit and run. If someone would have loved this woman enough to have prevented her from driving, we may not have had to read this story. If someone would have not looked the other way when she was drinking too much, not forgiven her behavior, but called her to task, called her to face the consequences of her drinking, maybe this story wouldn't have happened. St. Paul said in the letter to the Romans that we heard proclaimed this morning that we are to be transformed. Note that he doesn't say transform yourself, but he says be transformed. We are transformed by the mercy and the forgiveness of God. We open ourselves to receive that mercy, that forgiveness. Seeing the consequences of our sin, seeing the imperfections and the results of our sinfulness, we open ourselves to receive that forgiveness and that mercy that God wants to pour out on us. This key of withholding forgiveness is a key that allows us to help people to see the consequences of their sin, to help people see that they can make other choices, to help people see that God's mercy and forgiveness are there for them. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is great power that God has given to us. And it needs to be used with care, forgiving constantly. The key to withholding forgiveness would be used less frequently, with caution, with care, but with love. And I pray that by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we would use these keys to put our hands to these keys and use these keys for the honor and glory of God, accepting forgiveness, forgiving one another, and calling not only ourselves but others to receive that forgiveness from God. Amen.